Well, we're continuing studying Psalm 32. If you have a Bible, turn in it. It's a wonderful psalm. And I reminded you last week that we need to read the first word loudly. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach you. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart. Called the sermon, The Unbridled Joy of the Forgiven Sin. And last week we looked at the first two steps in getting to the point of the unbridled joy of forgiven sin. We were reminded, first of all, that on the road to understanding the unbridled joy of forgiven sin, the first thing you will do is you will experience the pain of unconfessed sin. Friends, David realized as long as he had sin in his heart and his life, there was going to be pain in his heart and his life. That's verse 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. There'll be physical pain. Then my groaning all day long, there is spiritual pain. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped. There's emotional pain. So friends, rather than trying to live with physical and spiritual and emotional pain, if you continue with sin in your life, friends, you're going to experience physical, emotional, spiritual pain in your life. So the way to deal with it is in verse 5 and 6. The next step to experiencing unbridled joy is to follow the process of confessing your sin. And verse 5 and 6 says this, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my sin to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. And there we were reminded, friends, that we need to acknowledge sin as sin. Let's stop hiding our sins. Sins need to be brought. And if it's a public sin, we need to confess it in public. If it's a private sin, it's between you and the Lord, friends. Confess, thirdly, all your sin to Jesus. David says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. We don't need to go to a priest or anybody else, friends. You don't need to come to me to confess your sin. Just go to Jesus. He's the only one who can answer them. Number four, confession should be part of our regular prayer life. David reminds us that everyone who is godly should pray. And lastly, he reminded us to confess our sin, friends, when we are prompted by the Spirit. He says, everyone who is godly must pray while you may be found. Friend, if you continue to suppress your sin, in the end, God's not going to bother you. Just like he did with Pharaoh. Pharaoh rejected God 6 times, and the 7th time, God rejected him. Now, friends, once you've confessed your sin, Now we get to the real blessing of the psalm. Now we begin to understand what the psalmist is talking about as we experience the unbridled joy of forgiven sin. What does David mean by that? First of all, friends, he reminds us that we are no longer in rebellion against God. Verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. The Hebrew word for transgress there, friends, is the word pesha. And it literally means to be in rebellion. That's what it means. And in fact, friends, if you ask theologians, most theologians will tell you that the very essence of sin is rebellion. It began in the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit of this tree. And Adam and Eve said, we will do what we want to do. And they rebelled against the commands of God. And they ate of the fruit of the tree that they were not meant to eat of, friends. And the fall happened at that point in time. Whenever we turn our backs on God, friends, if you're turning your back on God, the first description of sin, friends, is rebellion. But the opposite is true. The first experience you will have, friends, is restoration of that experience. You'll no longer be in rebellion to God. David says, blessed is he whose transgression, whose rebellion is forgiven. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son, the picture of the story of the prodigal son, friends, is a picture of God and us. God wanted to lavish his sons with every blessing that he possibly could do. The father in that parable wanted to give the sons everything that they could possibly ever need or want in their life. But the younger son said, I want to live my life. I want to do my thing. So God let him go. God wouldn't stop him from rebellion. And he went off in rebellion until he began to experience the consequences of rebellion. And he realized to live in rebellion of God, or in his case of his father, was not such a nice place to be. It was equivalent to eating pigs in a pigsty, eating with the pigs in a pigsty. That's what being in rebellion with God is. And he determines, even the servants in my home eat better than I have. And so he decides to return back to the Father. And in one of the most wonderful images we have in Scripture, friends, you have the image of the Father looking out for the Son. And when he sees the Son in a distance, the Father runs towards him and throws his arms around him and says, welcome back. Friend, that is what David is talking about. If you've never experienced the welcome back from God, friends, you don't know what it means to have your sins forgiven. Friends, there's unbridled joy. That they had a party when the boy returned. Not only is our rebellion forgiven, but our offenses are forgiven as well. The verse carries on and says, blessed is he whose sins are covered. The Hebrew word for sins is the word shatah, and it literally means an offense. If you break the law, that's an offense. Now, I wonder how many times you think you sin every day. Anybody want to confess this morning? Anybody willing? Well, let's kind of be, you know, let's be, you know, not so bad. Let's say we just do 10 little things a day that aren't so bad. We think a bad thought. We swear a little bit under our breath. We get angry with the driver that passes us. We're ungrateful for something. I could list 100 of them, couldn't I? Do you commit those sins? Just think if you committed 10 a day. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it? Sounds like a little. Do you know, by the time you are 70 years old, you would have committed 255,500 sins in your life. Did you hear that? 255,500 sins. That's if you haven't been so bad. But you know what? Not one of them are held against you. Every single one of them, friends, is at the foot of the cross. Every one of them is covered by the blood of Christ who died for our sins. We're forgiven. Are you blessed yet? I hope you are. You're no longer in rebellion against God. And even the very acts of your sin are forgiven. But there's more, friends. David's got more to encourage us with. He says, thirdly, you are declared innocent and righteous. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Friend, God's not going to hold any sin against you. The Bible tells us that He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Do you know how far that is? Well, it's infinity. Because wherever you go east, you're going to have to go west. And if you go west, you have to go east. Friends, the picture in the scripture is that God has removed your sin as far as possible. The most beautiful picture that I've ever heard of the forgiveness of God is this. People often say God forgets our sin. God can't forget, friends. If God can forget, we're in trouble. Because He may just forget to let the sun come up tomorrow morning. God can't forget. The most beautiful picture of sin, of our forgiveness, friends, is that God hasn't forgotten our sin. He just chooses to never hold it against us. Isn't that wonderful? Pity Patricia isn't here because she'll have a go at me afterwards. You know, when us husbands do something wrong, our wives never forget those things, do they? Okay? Us men, gone, finished, and clear. But when you do something wrong, your wife adds them to the list. One, two, after the next. Sorry, ladies, I'm only joking. But you know it's true, don't you? But I always say to my wife, the wonderful thing that helps her remember all of my bad things also helps her remember all of the good things as well. So there's a benefit to it. She's the one who remembers when the birthdays are, I don't. She's the one who remembers all the special occasions. She's the one who remembers what clothes we wore and what event we were attending. But friends, God remembers, but He doesn't hold it against you. You're forgiven. You're innocent. You're righteous. Fourthly, not only you are declared innocent and righteous, but the penalty of your sin is removed. David says in verse 5, I will confess my sin to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. Friend, what a great joy that is, the penalty. The Bible clearly tells us the wages of sin is death. Friend, the wages of sin for us is life. The wages of forgiven sin, friends, is life. I have come that you may have life and have it eternal. Friend, that's what Jesus has given to you. He has removed it as far as the east is from the west. But friends, he's not only removed the sin, he's removed the consequence as well. We no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to fear the future. Man, as Christians, like the Apostle Paul, we look forward to the future. Because like Paul, we too can say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because we're just going to go from one state to another. Titus reminds us, Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. What great encouragement. Friend, not only is your sin removed, but the penalty of your sin is removed as well. No wonder David was jumping up and kicking his heels in joy. The unbridled joy. Fifthly, friends, we are told that this is done by Jesus, by God, who moves from being our judge to being our advocate. Look what it says, verse 6. When the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Friend, what joy there is to know that we belong to God in every single way. I don't have all the time to go into all of that this morning. But friends, God gets off the judgment seat, declares our sin, declares us guilty of our sin, but then comes to stand beside us. Jesus takes on the banner of a sacrifice and one who stands in our place and pleads our case. And friends, we all we need to do is experience the unbridled joy of forgiven sin. Now, friend, I don't know about you, but if you're not a Christian, you're missing out. There is joy in knowing that I'm not in rebellion to God anymore. I don't have to fear God. Don't have to shake my fist in the face of God, because he's forgiven me. My sins are forgiven. Every one of the 255,500, but probably more like 10 million. I'm declared innocent. The penalty is removed. And Jesus acts on my behalf. Then finally, David moves on. After reminding us of the unbridled joy of forgiven sin, to remind us to continue. Because while we experience the unbridled joy of forgiven sin, friends, this life is difficult. It's a long life. We don't always kind of know how to go, but there's wonderful encouragement for us in God's word here. God says, I will instruct you and teach you. There are four things God tells us he's going to do for us. First one is this. He tells us to follow his words. Once you're forgiven, once you've known the joy of salvation, the next step, friends, is to follow his word. I will instruct you, God says, and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And for that, friends, we have the word of God. You don't need anything else other than the word of God. So wonderfully grateful to have the Spirit of God who speaks into our hearts and lives. But the Spirit of God, friends, points us to the word of God. Because this is our GPS. This is what tells us where to go. One of the things that we experienced when we our children brought us a gift to go down to the Transkei coast to Mazepa Bay. So when we decided to go during the week that we decided to go, I didn't bother to read the instructions that they had sent us in their confirmation letter. Typical mail, aren't I? I thought, I know the way. I don't need to read the instructions. So I switched on the GPS, and the GPS was following. We were following the GPS all the way. And the one thing I had read in the instructions was the last 25 kilometers of the road are very bad. So I was expecting the road to be bad. At one point, the GPS said, turn here. This is the road to Mazepa Bay. And so we did. Well, as we were driving, the road got narrower and narrower and narrower to the point where it was just two little paths. I thought they were joking when they said the road gets bad. At one point, friends, our car was balancing on two wheels. The front wheel and the front right wheel and the back right wheel were on the road, and the other two wheels were off the road, balancing like this. Patricia had to get out the car and walk in front of the car and show me where to go. Eventually, we rode in the veld because it was better than riding in the roads. Why? Because we followed the wrong GPS, friends. If we had just followed their instructions, we would have carried on the road that we were with for about another 2 kilometers and then gone down another much, 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 much better road. What was meant to be a two-hour journey took us about 4 hours, and it took us about an hour just to cover 1.5 kilometers. Why? Because we followed the wrong GPS. Friends, we'll make mistakes in our lives. We will fail God. But come back to the GPS, friends. It'll point you in the right direction. And you will again know the joy, unbridled joy of forgiven sins. Secondly, don't return to your sinful life. David makes it so clear. Don't be like a horse or a mule who have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Proverbs says it even more clearly. Don't be like a dog that returns to its vomit. Sorry that I have to read so graphic this morning. But people who are in sin are going back to that. Friend, don't return to your sinful life. Experience the joy, unbridled joy of forgiven sin. Thirdly, as you're going through this journey, always remember this: you are loved. As you go through the journey, friends, that initial joy of salvation may be a long way away. Sometimes it may feel as if God is far away. But David says this in verse 10, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him." God may not like your actions, friends, but he'll always love you. Even though you may have denied him, never forget, friends, he died for you. You are still loved. And then the final instruction is, in the words of that song, "Don't worry, be happy." That's really that last verse. "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart." And as I told the children, the Hebrew word for rejoice is samach, and it means to brighten up. Put a smile on your dial. That's what it literally means. The word be glad is the Hebrew word chul, and it means spin around. We need a little bit of dancing in church, don't we? Oh, not in this Baptist church forever. You must go to some of our Xhosa Baptist churches these days and you'll see some real dancing for the Lord. And the Hebrew word for sing, ranan, means to shout out for joy. Man, this sounds like a party. Are you happy Jesus died for you?
Yes.
Are you full of joy? Nathan spoke to David, told him about his sin. David says this back to him. David says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And then Nathan replies with this command, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die." Why could Nathan be so confident in those words? Why could he be so absolutely sure as he spoke to David? God had taken away his sins, friends, because we are reminded in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's why we can rejoice this morning. That's why we can experience the unbridled joy of forgiven sin, friends. Because anytime, whenever you're ready, you can come to God. You can come before him and say, "Lord, I need your joy again. I need again to feel and experience that unbridled pleasure of knowing you," like David explains for us in this passage, and simply follow the scripture. But the first scripture says, if you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. If you claim to be without sin, you may say, "Well, I don't need that. The Bible's pretty clear. You deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you." And then the next verse says, but if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive you our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Are you happy this morning? Are you encouraged? Friend, if you're not encouraged, the Spirit of God can't live in you. Because if the Spirit of God lives in you, it's not because I've preached this message. It is because it is the truth. know, experience the joy of forgiven sin. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the incredible joy we have. For those, Lord, who've never experienced that joy, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Today you will fill their hearts and their lives so that they may know you unconditionally. They may know what it means to be forgiven. They will know what it means to be accepted. They will know what it means to be protected. They will know what it means to have life. They will know what it means to be innocent. They'll know what it means to have their sins removed. They'll know what it means, Lord, that you have forgiven them and you never hold their sin against them ever again. Thank you for your joy. Speak, we pray, through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.